I'd just like to share some things with you guys about me and my world. And I used to put on a workshop back in the area where I was, and I had put on a couple times a few. Just, I lost them. I threw my notes away the day you got me. You know, nobody told me I could just get on. I would just look at some things about the world without vision. The first question I was asked was, I just thank you for this opportunity to get you in for all to get in front of that, what your vision is for the world. I thank you that you've seen the Holy Spirit in front of us, and we each have individual capacities that you want to use. I pray that you would, just in this hour, increase our vision, show us the importance of vision, and show us the facts about what you're doing in the world. I just thank you that Holy Spirit is alive and able to teach us those things. In Jesus' name. I like to share a word of testimony about my life and how God used vision and knowledge to change my life. I met the Lord when I was a pilot in the Air Force in Abilene, Texas. And I was involved for about 2 years in military ministry and for university ministry for a couple of years. And during that time, I was learning what you're probably learning ministry skills, how to follow up, memorize the word, and that kind of thing. Then in 1974, my NAPRA asked me to come up here for the summer, for a summer training program. And it was at that time I was kind of at a crucial point in my life because there was a lot of decisions I would have to make. Where I was going to live, what I was going to do, those kind of decisions. And I came here, I don't know why he picked me, or picked the guys in history to pick for us. So it was kind of an honor to come up here. And that summer I met three men. One of them is Walter Scott, who put this slideshow together, and he spoke to us often. Another man was John Ridgway, who is a man from Australia who's with an aviator kind of infant. Third guy that really changed my life, or God used to change my life, was Jim Peterson. He's now in Brazil. But those men, as I was around them, especially John Ridgway, he spent a lot of personal time talking how to pray for the world, showed me some different things. And as I was around those men, God just used them to light a fire in my heart. And as a result of just 3 months here, my life has never been the same since that time. Decisions that would have been hard before that time have been really easy because of just vision and knowledge. And I'd like to just share some verses with you on vision and a couple on knowledge. Of course, you all know Proverbs 29:18. Does anybody know that? Realize God. Okay. Where there's no vision, without a vision, the people perish. Another version says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. And even Christians can be unrestrained. They can waste their life on things that won't count because they don't have vision. So vision's important, but vision a lot of times is based on knowledge. Proverbs 19:2 says, it is not good for man to be without knowledge. And he who makes haste with his feet misses his way. So it's really, knowledge is what we call facts. So facts have a lot to do with vision. Another verse I came across in quiet time in the morning, I didn't even want to talk about it. This Proverbs 10:14 says, wise men store up knowledge. So wise men or wise people store up facts. It's important what we know. Kind of a good illustration from the Bible on this is Nehemiah. His vision for going back and rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem was based on the facts that the wall was torn down. And he didn't really get that vision until he learned the facts of what God had already done, what was being done, and what needed to be done today in Jerusalem. So knowledge and vision really are kind of key. In Romans 1:1, a real good illustration from the Bible on what vision will do for you. It does two really good things. The first one, like we said, is it gives you kind of a boundary for your life. In Romans 1:1, Paul says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And when we have vision, there's just things that we won't do that the other Christians, and especially, of course, the non-Christians, won't do. But like Bill Gottman says, others may, and I cannot. And our lives will be set apart when we've got vision for the world. And we'll talk more about that after the meeting. So one thing is it hedges our life and it sets a boundary that we won't waste our life like even other Christians do. The second thing is Amos 3:3 talks about two men walking together because they have a common meeting place or common purpose. And if we have on our heart exactly what's on God's heart, how close will our fellowship be with Him? A lot of Christians, and I don't want to shoot at denominations, but just a lot of denominational Christians that never get involved with, like you're involved, what you're involved with there. Oklahoma. They never give the real vision of reaching people, of discipling. And their walk with Jesus never has that sharp edge. And I think that besides being set apart and hedging in our lives, it gives us a close walk with the Lord. If we knew exactly the vision that He had. And if I had one prayer, only prayer, I pray for this workshop today, is that you get the same vision for the world that God has. Because that will increase your fellowship with Him. It's tremendous. So those two things, it hedges your life in and increases your fellowship with God. Okay, this is a little illustration you've probably seen before, but it kind of illustrates what God's vision is for the world, what it was and what it is today. Some people really wonder if God is out to reach the world. And I think in my heart, I really might have wondered that too. So this little illustration is kind of a human illustration about God's vision. I would like somebody to look up 1 Kings 8:41-43.
Sake of your name and your absent presence, they will hear of your great name, your revelation of yourself, your strong hand and stretched out arm. When you shall pray in or toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger asks of you, that all the people of the earth may know your name and your revelation of your presence, and fear and revere you as do your people Israel. And may know and comprehend that this house, which I have built, is called by your name and contains the token of your presence.
Kind of a long passage, but one of the key passages of the Old Testament on what God's purpose was and how He intended to reach the world. And there's one key word in the first verse. What was God's strategy there? Somebody want to summarize that real quick. Somebody were to walk up to you and ask you, what was God's strategy to reach, or was His strategy to reach the world? And if it was, what was it before Christ came?
The people going out.
Is that what it said? What's the one of those, what, is there a verse, the verb in there, go, or the verb come? Okay. And that's really key if we don't understand that. Okay, it says that when a stranger comes, you're about your greatness and all this stuff, then what will happen? You come to worship and fear the Lord.
Instead of you
that all the people to the earth, there's a key passage. If anybody or Satan ever puts in thought in your mind that God's not after you, who will, even in the Old Testament, that passage right there says that he's after you all the earth. But the strategy then was that people would come to Israel and see God's glory. Now, I think all of us are aware of what God's strategy is for the New Testament. Does anybody know Matthew 28, 19, 20? Just kind of summarizing.
Yeah, it says, and Jesus came and said to him, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And though I live with you all, it is through the end of the age.
Great. Tremendous passage. And what's the key verb there?
Okay.
And this is a verse pretty elementary, but it's really neat, especially when you're sharing vision with a new Christian. The key word is go. So that kind of describes what God's about. The old phone number for the mail room, the new phone number right there, I think. Any observations about God's plan for me? Okay, what we'll do right now is look at the slideshow. You might record a few of these facts. I wish that I had known about this. I would have a handout. Actually, it's just a copy of one of the slides, a couple of slides. But you just really notice some of the facts in there about what God's doing. And like, these are 3 years old, so it's changed a little bit. But I think the general trend is the same. Decided I should come to Glen Eyre. It was really just one night I got it on the heart for me to come up here. And I always trusted God to work through the council and through the people that He put in authority over and experienced me of. So I said, so Lord, well, I don't want to come back to the area. Because for one thing, it's all Christians up here. And I couldn't, you know, by sight, I just couldn't see how God would use that. So I came here on His council, and I didn't, I had peace, I guess you could say, but I had other desires in my mind. And a week after I got here, the Lord brought to mind that this fellow, John Ridgway, had a friend who had taught with him in India, who was up at Colorado State University, Fort Collins, and he said, go see this guy. If you ever get a chance, I'd go up there once in the afternoon and see him. And we were talking about the world, and I told him about my desire for Asia. He said, boy, if that's on your heart, why don't you fly to India as a student? And, you know, you always hear, well, India's clothes or China's clothes are always kind of stuff. And I don't really believe that. But he didn't either. And we can reach countries like this just in special ways, even going in as students or going in occupation, not in the poor countries. So that's what I've done. And God's going to be opening that door. And so don't ever say that God can't use me. Because John 14:12 says, He will lead me the works that I do, shall He do also. And greater works than me shall He do, because I go to the Father. So never think that God can't use you in the right way. The only thing that limits you is your own sight. So that's true. Okay, what are some things that we can do where we are to reach the world and increase our world?
Pardon me, I have international students here coming as students.
Okay. Thank you. another thing is just to put up a world map around where you are. You'd be surprised, especially if you put it up right in front of your desk. And I challenge each one of you. There's a real good world map. I'm using address in it where to get it. It costs a dollar. But most world maps, especially those published in the United States, guess what's in the middle of the map? North America. So, but it's really hard to get a vision for Asia and Africa when you look at those maps. But if you get a map that's published in the other part of the world, they don't have a map. This is a really good map. So you can put up maps. Also, there's several good tapes. This thing called your wall in Chicago has a tape. And I'm not pushing them in here, but we just had it under our auspices. It's called World Vision. And it's excellent. It's really good. And I know guys do that. Several people want it just to give them a sense of the direction. Something else that someone may not own that's really invaluable is like in the world almanac. Several different people publish it. World Atlas is good too, but they will paperback those now real quick. And well, there's several different names for them. One's World Almanac. You may know what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah. The paperback, and they cost about $2, and we have facts and figures about every country in the world off hand.
I really didn't know what this country was, and she was trying to explain the world to me. And so I happened to have that almanac there in my bookcase. I pulled the almanac up, and she started explaining to me what the country was. And it's really neat, you know, when foreign students try to open up to you, because some American students, as opposed to foreign students, really do. On our campus, it seems to be opening up now.
They're really open. Hey, what's something else we can do? We can get help spiritually in like disciple ministry, cultural awareness.
Be aware of the things like that. World Evangelist Fellowship at Walden Scott put them together a monthly letter for the missionary, a little one thing.
What is book reading? That's great. Even just reading Newsweek is good. Even with all the ungodly stuff in it. So just the proper reading, there's all kinds of stuff for that.
They need a missionary from the country. They have a big map. They may take a thumbtack or one of these thumbtacks with their heads on it, and they stick that on that country with a tag that's got the missionary's name on it. And that way they can go through, you know, once a week and pray for all the missionaries that they met personally.
Well, that's
better than different.
You mentioned prayer letters. Boy, they're excellent. If you're not praying for a missionary, I'd really urge you to just create one or two missionaries and start corresponding regularly with them. Corresponding missionaries and not regular prayer letters. But this personal correspondence, we really pray in depth and specifically. I'd like to right here just toss out a couple things for you to look at. And you, when you finish, you can just leave it back there on the card. It's one thing to say you're going to pray for the world, because the most important thing in the world is who and what you're praying, who you're praying for and what you're praying about. Because whatever, it's like spending your money, whatever you're praying for, that's where your heart will go. And these little cards are put out by a group called Operation Mobilization. Some of you might have heard about them. And you can just look at them and see they tell this little few specific facts about the country. And Chile, you can have a little map on them. And then on the back, some specific prayer requests for that country. Like Dawson Trotman, of course, used to just go out and take a world map and pray over it. But these are a little more specific. So there's three things I'd like to mention that will help you pray. And also, I'd like to start this little book of man. All the world. Okay, there's first these prayer cards. And my roommate and I, for several years, they update these cards. But we get together and just kind of deal on that and then just spend a lot of time in prayer and incorporate these with the prayer letters that we have with different missionaries. We pray a couple times a week, at least, for the world. Okay, here's the address. And I'll just write it up here. This is Operation Mobilization Office in America. You know I am. Post Office Box 148. Midland, Oregon. New Jersey. Two applications I'd like to make as a result of this time together. One of them is the order bill. It costs $1, and you'll never spend about $1. One of the girls that works here carries with her certain cards each day. She's from this room. There's 52. And you'll find countries, you'll find United States or Canada or New Zealand or Australia, but mainly African and Asian countries and communist countries. But that's the best dollar you'll ever spend. It might have gone up, but I think it's still down. And you'll be amazed that if you make it your goal to be an increaser of the vision of people around you, and ask God to do that. I asked God 3 years ago to do that, or 4 years ago now. And it's amazing that He'll do that and just use your life. Just asking people to pray with them, pretty soon they'll kind of get excited about the world. Pretty soon, you know, that decision they're trying to make about this girl or that girl or this house or that house or this job or that job or money, or pretty soon those decisions kind of shrink down in their importance, and pretty soon the world can witness to the people and see them one in Christ, so they can go out. It becomes more important, and they totally involved in the battle for the souls of men. And you can be used by God, not only, of course, to affect non-Christians, but Christians are on display. This is a really neat way. Okay, the second thing is this little book called All the World. The very best thing though is called I'll agree with you. It's called World Input for the World Christian. It's published by the William Perry Library, and I don't have their address here. If I had more time, I'd bring that all. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have it. William Perry Library in California, California. And I think you can do it. It costs $4.95, but it's really the best of all these things. If you really want to pray, it's a compliment. It's kind of like a combination of the World Almanac and a specific prayer request for these specific countries. It's really good. But the World Book for the World Christian. And like your whole BS or something, they want to just buy one copy because you can see my address here on pages. That I want to pray for that. This is the most practical of all. This little book is free, by the way. Wherever it is, okay.
What about the map?
Oh, you can get that map from the same place here. And it's a great map. I wish that. Oh, you had one. It's real brightly colored. Each country is a different country of color. And so they don't all run together like a lot of maps. You said, great, just for a map, world map period is the best map you've ever seen. And it costs $1 also. So those are some things you might be practicing. Okay, so here's one application of why you make the Bible's cards and start praying to the world. The second one, we didn't talk about what we talked about, discipling whether Americans or third world countries. If you disciple America and he goes to third world country, you reach the world, or he can disciple a person directly to the third world country, which is really how you look at it. But one in blood. One day we move for world vision as a government. And the harvest is truly plentiful all over the place. But just from reading all this ungodly journalism in America, you think that God's not working to get in the country. And that's not true. They just need people everywhere. Every mission needs people. And yet here in America, we settle down to 3 square meals a day and a couple of cars in the road. And we don't want to do that. Let's be laborers. Here's the verse I'd like you to know. It's probably the key verse in the New Testament, besides Matthew 28. On vision, on the mission of Christians. And it says, this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And it doesn't say that you may send salvation, it says that you may bring salvation. And if you commit your life to God to go, you'd be surprised what He'll do in 5 years. If you do this, if you give help, then you know it. Ministry skills and become aware of what's going on and read about it. So I'd like you to memorize that verse, Acts 13:47, and just meditate on it. It's really good in the international version. So it's the same thing. Okay, are there any questions or discussion? I'd like for that book to get around and just kind of glance at it.
There's also some organizations you can give to. There's one that's called World Vision International.
Great.
And they do, I don't know what the address is, but they put out a newsletter about every month, I think. And you can give, and they give practical help, like food and health and everything. Same time, minister of the gospel. There's a number of organizations. Just make sure that they're presenting the gospel to you.
Yeah, that's great. We forgot that. Okay. And one note there, this thing I've learned is when I first became a Christian, I was in the Air Force and I had more money than I knew what to do. I just you used to just split it up and look at five different people, you know, go and give them five different places. But I'd really encourage you to support fewer missionaries and organizations. This is a great World Vision. A lot of places need help, and there are tremendous ministries. Like, there's tremendous radio ministries going on. One of them is called ELWA. It's in Africa. It's through Sudan Interior Mission. And there's one called FEBC, Far Eastern Broadcasting Company. In several countries of the world, they are the only gospel going in mass.
There's another one, it's Evangelism in Communist Land,
ECL.
Where they send you little packets of the letters. They have pieces of the Bible. And all you have to do is stamp it. They'll send you a list of addresses, and you stamp it and address it and then mail it. And it's sending pieces of the New Testament to people in Communist Lands. It's their way of getting Bibles into the people. And I think that's real effective.
Thanks for mentioning that. I had a roommate that just got me totally excited about that. He did that. Because the people will not intercept mail from a civilian person in America to another person in one African country. Whereas if it came from an organization, then they would intercept it. So it's really fruitful. And I don't know, do you have that, Andrea?
No,
I'm
bringing
Okay, so that's really, like Phil sharing, is make sure the organization is sharing the gospel. There's a lot of tremendous amount of works going on in countries like hospital and education, but they don't share the gospel. They don't really evangelize. So that's kind of key.
Did you say the World Vision, that it's moving him, is that right? That's real good, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. I believe it is. Uh-huh. Their last, if you haven't read World Vision's last magazine, their last monthly magazine, it has an article on India. I'm crazy for it. But it has an article in there on the typhoon and the tidal wave that hit India. But there's an article in there on a husband and his young wife. And boy, it reaches your heart. And then just that kind of stuff goes on every day in third world countries. Things we would never realize, the pain and suffering, just the heartbreak. Boy, it's just one of the best written articles I've ever read. I think that's one of the best magazine articles. So it's got an orange cover. Any other questions or observations? Well, I'd like to just apologize for my lack of preparedness and really thank you for coming. Spread the word. Preach the gospel.